Most of you could probably quote that verse on your own. But I want to look at this, and we're going to look at the light of the world, literally the light of the world, and the life of the world. The life or and the light of the world. The light of the world, the life of the world. We're going to look at that today, and we are in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we'll begin there in verse 1. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all begin at a place that is speaking of the history of Israel. Matthew's gospel begins with a genealogy of Jesus, this legal genealogy from Abraham to Jesus. You go to Mark's gospel, and he begins at the ministry of John the Baptist, the one who is preparing the way for Messiah to come. Then you go to Dr. Luke's gospel, and you find he begins with John's birth and Jesus' birth and gives us so much information about the nativity, but he then gives us a biological genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Adam. But here in the gospel of John, John uniquely begins with eternity past. John says, in the beginning, well, it's a great question if we really wanted to put a question mark there, in the beginning of what? Because Jesus has always been. So he says, in the beginning of what? Well, in the beginning of when things began. Is that confusing or not? This statement is really an oxymoron. Because it doesn't make sense, and there's really no Greek translation that can do it justice, because this is there to help our human brains comprehend time a bit, but time is not even a good word for this, because time doesn't matter to God. This is not when Jesus began, but when Jesus came to earth, when he started things on earth, because Jesus has always been. There's never been a time where Jesus was not. And so we remember, if you were with me on Sunday night, the verses in John 17. John 17, verse 4, Jesus speaks of his time before he was born incarnate deity. In John 17, 4 and 5, he says, I have glorified thee on earth. He's speaking to the Father in the high priestly prayer. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So before Genesis 1, and however long that was before that, glorify me with that. Then you see down in verse 20 of John 17, neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And he says in 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So I'm using those verses to talk about us. But now look at verse 24. Jesus talks about eternity past again. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Way before Jesus was born as helpless babe, he and God the Father had an agape love feast with one another. We talked about how they had perfect praise and perfect glory and perfect fellowship and perfect love if you weren't with me on Sunday night. But go back to John chapter 1 and look at verse 4. We're going to study these two verses out. John chapter 1 and verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word does not contain life and light. The Word is life and light. There are several Greek words in the New Testament for the word life. The first word that is used is bios, where we get our word for biology, and it speaks of a physical life. Jesus spoke about bios life when he talked about the pleasures of this current life, when he talks about temporal things. But then they also use psuche. Psuche is where we get our word for psychology. This speaks of the thoughts and the intents, the emotional or the thought life that we have, the thinking life that we have. But then John loves this word, Zoe. He loves this word, Zoe, in the Greek for life. And this word is unique, and John will use it here, and then he'll use it again in his 1 John, his epistle, we'll see in a moment. But the word Zoe, this life is the eternal divine life of God. It's the only word John uses for it here. Zoe is life that is uncreated, that only comes from God. It does not come from us, nor can it be created by us. And so scientists can, in their ideas, in their mind, create life or recreate life or produce life, but this Zoe can only be created by the divine. We don't have the eternal life apart from the eternal God imparting it to us. This is why we must be born again. Because we have this bios life when we are born of our father and our mother. But Jesus says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Because now you have to take on this Zoe life, this regenerated life through the Holy Spirit. Because it can only come through the divine. And so the Holy Spirit, being the third person of the Trinity, he's the only one that can breathe that life into you. So we understand in him was life. And Jesus is the eternal life. Look at 1 John 5:11 and through 13. I love these verses. Our church is named after one of these, basically. And this is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life, that's Zoe. And this life, that's Zoe, is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, Zoe, divine, uncreated, new, regenerate life, eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You look here in verse 13. This is the verse that we use to name our church, Assurance Baptist Church. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is how we know, because we have the Son of God, the Word, who is life, and because he has given us that life, imparted it, we have that Zoe. Look at the next verse there. We have eternal life in verse 20 of 1 John. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the life. Jesus himself is the Word. The life of Jesus is not just any old life. It is the light of men. We see there in verse 4 that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the only light in us. Mankind is spiritually dark. If you look outside, if you look at the shootings that happened in Australia and Brown University and all the things, I mean, you don't even have to look outside of where we're at here in Dayton. You can look out and see that we live in a dark world. And the only light is the ones who have the life of Jesus in them to light the way. Look at verse 5 in John. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it. But if you look at that in certain versions of the Bible, or if you just look up the Greek word, it literally means that darkness has not overtaken or overcome light. That darkness has no control over light. And so I want to look at two thoughts today about this light. Two thoughts about this light. We'll go through this. We'll receive offering and we'll get out of here today. Amen. The light shines in darkness, number one. The light shines in darkness. John, if you read John's epistle letters, essentially I call them, he loves to talk about light and darkness. He loves to talk about how things are light and how things are dark. And here he's doing this in John, his gospel. But I want you to remember this. How does the light shine in darkness? Well, look at Matthew 5:14 through 16. How did Jesus intend for this life, his life that's in us, to light the world? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Oh, we are the light of the world. The church, the bride of Christ, those who are saved and have believed, those who he was praying for in John 17. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Nobody lights a candle or lights things up and then puts a bowl over it to block it out. No, let your light so shine before men. This is Zoe, by the way. This is this life that's in them. This is us taking that life, that eternal life that's in us, because remember, the life is him and his light is in us. And so we're shedding eternal life before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your which is in heaven. What we're doing is we're telling people about the life of Jesus, shining the light of Jesus, so that they might say, I want to glorify that very same Father that's in heaven. This is the light shining in darkness. How are we that light? Because it comes from his life. It comes from the gospel. There are churches called Gospel Light. My pastor always said, I don't know if I would name it that. That seems like we're preaching light on the gospel. But I understand what they're saying. They're saying that this life, that in him was life, and the life was the light of men, that his life, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, us showing that to the whole world, that, listen, it's not, we take that verse in Matthew 5:16, and it does mean this. We take that as, we better be really, really good so that people can see Jesus. But what did it say? It says, let your light so shine. And the light that you have, we've already established, isn't your light or your righteousness. It's the life of Jesus in you. That's what we're supposed to shine to people. Hey, maybe, and this is right to have a good practical life. This is right to have a good clean life. And yes, people are going to have to take you serious in these things. But you can be as good as a Christian as you want to be internally. You can live right. You can be clean. But watch, nobody has ever gotten saved just because you're a good person. You must shine the gospel light to them. You must illuminate it. You must take out your flashlight and say, listen, it's not about me, but the life is about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This life, we have to shine a light on it so that you can get the darkness out, so that you can have that life, because in him is life, right? And he is the life, and that life is the light of the world. And so we must shine the gospel light. We sing that song, Send the Light. This is us. Hey, listen, we could not go on grow, and those people may or may not get saved. I'll never know. But I know this much. When we go and knock on a door to tell someone, we may invite them to church, but every one of those tracks has the gospel on it. And you know what we're really trying to establish? We're hoping to get an opportunity to shine the light on who Jesus really is. I'm not going to spend much time on this, but this is why you get these Jehovah's Witnesses and this New World Translation. No other translation does this except for them, and they had to do this because they say, and the Word was a God, or like a God, a little g God. And what are they doing? They don't believe in the deity of Christ. He's not equal to God in their mind. And so in doing that, they completely have taken away every single divine thing about Jesus. And this is why if somebody comes to my door with that belief system, I'll go right to that verse and say, until you and I can agree on this, we have nothing to talk about. Till you believe that my Jesus is God, we have nothing to talk about. And that's how it is with everybody. But how will they know it was life, and the life was the light of men? But then number two, I like this part. The darkness has not comprehended. Look what it says there. And the darkness comprehended it not. Sometimes in the King James, you need the preacher to kind of explain things to you because you say comprehend it. But because you're a Baptist and because I know some of you have been in jail, you probably understand apprehend it better. So you can use that if you'd like to. That's of no charge to you. But darkness has not apprehended. It has not put light in handcuffs. It's not put light in shackles. It cannot overtake it, because darkness can't get darker. And darkness is just the absence of light. Darkness has not and cannot overcome light, even though it's trying with all of its might. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of... He's trying. He's even trying to take on the form because he wants to be like God, Isaiah 14. He's even trying to take on the form. And so sometimes he comes in a red dress. Sometimes he comes with a fancy hairdo. Sometimes he comes in a church building. Sometimes he comes in a song. Satan is trying to make himself look like light, trying to look good because he's trying to overcome this darkness. He's trying to overcome with his darkness. But watch this. Look at the next verse. And I love this verse. I quote it all the time, but watch this. It's important for us to see that Satan, when he is trying to overcome darkness, he can't, because it says right there that Jesus is the light. Beloved, believe not every spirit. See, they're going to try to be light. They're going to be seducers and waxing worse and worse. But watch what the Bible says. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. You know how you'll know? If there's true light in them. These false teachers out here, as soon as they say something blasphemous, there's no true light in them, because there's no true life of Jesus in them. And so you can get rid of that, because many false prophets are going out into the world preaching false things. But watch this. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Everybody that believes Christmas for real, and that he's both God and man, those people get it. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard it should come, and even now already is in the world. So it's been around for over 2,000 years. But watch this. Oh, ye are of God, little children, and ye have overcome this, because darkness can't overcome light, but light overcomes darkness, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan can try to be and turn into, and marvel not that he turns into an angel of light, but unless you let him, he can't overcome your gospel light. Light always takes over darkness. We can make it lighter, but we can't make it darker. Brother Brandon's a great electrician. And so there was a time where at my house there was no overhead lights. And when it got dark at nighttime, it didn't get any darker. It was just dark. But then Brother Brandon came in with his tools and fixed it up, and now it's light. And he said, Pastor, he says, I've just got them set on this setting, but if you go to the next setting, they'll get even brighter. Wow. We can add light. It's pretty bright down there now. We can add light. Even these lights in here, they're only turned, if I remember correctly, me and Brother Brandon, and Mr., believe it or not, as small as she is, even Miss Megan was up there changing these lights. I think we had to get two ladders for her. But listen, when we were in here, if I remember correctly, there's three settings on this, and this is only on the middle. They're not even as bright as they can go. But you know what? If we turned off all the lights, come 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock tonight, it's just dark, and it won't get any darker. At 7 o'clock, when sun's done, at 7 o'clock, at midnight, it'll just be as dark as it was before. But we flip a switch, and the light will overcome the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. But let me say this to you in this time of Christmas. Let me give you some hope, and let me give you some joy, joy to the world. Man, Jesus, if there was any time in history where it was dark and dreary for Israel, it was the time that Jesus was born. And that's why the Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. Because he knew exactly when. This is the most drastic. They have gone from Assyrian deportation and taking over the northern kingdom thousands of years before. They went into the Babylonian captivity, which is what we talk about most often in the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar, they went through the Persians having rule over them, the Grecians or Greece having rule over them, all the way now to where the Romans have beat the world in submission, and they've even got the vassal king Herod that's not any good, and they're just, the Romans say, we'll put you on the throne, and we'll pretend like we're going to let the Jews have their worship and these things, but we're going to rob them and steal from them, and we're going to hire other Jews to make them be the tax collectors. And that's why in the New Testament, when you see Jesus walking around, all those people hated Matthew and all the tax collectors and publicans, because they were robbing their own people at the Romans' behest. Listen, this is a terrible time, and the light's walking around, and they tried to overtake it, didn't they? They tried to kill Jesus' light. They tried to extinguish his light, and Satan thought he did for a moment, but on Good Friday, Jesus died, and on the first Easter Sunday, he rose again, and even though the darkness tried to apprehend the light shines forevermore. But watch this. Don't get angry about the darkness. Don't get angry about the darkness, because it will diminish or extinguish your gospel light. Christian, listen, a lot of times, even in this hustle and bustle of this holiday season and things going on around there and people getting depressed, this year I ate Thanksgiving dinner alone in a hospital all by myself, and I felt so diminished. I felt so defeated. And as I was sitting there and as I was going, God started to supernaturally, not in a weird way, but through the Word of God, through reading my Bible, and it's all I had to do. So I read more chapters. I'm always reading 8 chapters a day, but I was reading 20 and 25 chapters a day and studying. And he got me to this point and said, wait a minute, don't let your light be diminished. Don't you become angry because of what's going on, because of your circumstances or things going around you. And so I had to search the Bible, and I found this verse, and I want you to look at it. Look at James 1:20. And this is how I want you to see it. Somebody doesn't treat you right, or your family don't come around at Christmas time, or something's not, the world is dark. But watch what the Bible says. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now watch this. Here's what it means. James is saying to us, our anger does not change or bring darkness to the light. Only our light can bring righteousness to the darkness. And what is our light? We've established. Our light is the life of Jesus Christ. In him was life. Remember we said it's Zoe. It's eternal. It cannot be diminished or extinguished once it's in you, because he that hath the Son hath Zoe, hath life. Can't be changed. That's why we believe in the perseverance of the saints, why we believe once you're saved, you're always saved. Because if something's eternal, if it's everlasting, if it lasts forever, and if God said it, who cannot lie, once that's in you, it cannot be removed from you. Be having a bowl over top of it. Don't let your city that's on a hill put some kind of film over top of it. No, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works, because we'll start to have bad works when we get angry. Come on. Don't act like you're better than me. We'll start to have bad works when we're angry. What did James say? James is the proverb. He's the proverb writer of the New Testament. He's the Solomon of the New Testament. He says, don't let your wrath get in the way of your righteousness. But man, we can get mad and say, well, I'm bitter and I'm mad and I'm going to do this. But that's putting a bowl over your candle. That's blocking out. That's turning off the power grid in your city that's on a hill. But it isn't your light to turn off, because in him was life. And that life was the light of men. Jesus died on the cross and rose again 3 days later. And his expectation of you and I is what he said. That's his words, red letter edition in Matthew 5:16. His expectation of us is to let our light so shine abundantly. Our anger does not change or bring darkness to the light. People get so mad and they say, we're going to riot. We're going to tear things up. People have been rioting for years. I mean, literally in Jesus' day, people rioted. When they tried to push Jesus off a cliff, that was a riot. They got so mad in Nazareth of Galilee at Jesus for saying that he was the Son of God. This day, this scripture has been fulfilled. They tried to push him off of a cliff. They were so mad, they rioted. A riot happens later on. Eventually, Jesus predicted in AD 70, and Titus comes in and destroys Jerusalem and the temple. Sets the whole place on fire. When you look at the Apocrypha, though not biblical, historical in some way, when you look at the Maccabees, they have a revolt, Judas Maccabees, and they go out and they riot. They're so mad. And I'm telling you, all the world has rioted and been mad, and never has anger ever overcome darkness. But I know this. Maybe you too. I was in darkness. I was dead in trespasses and sin. But I was quickened by the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit, because as many as are led by the Spirit, to them become the sons of God. And in that moment, I received that Zoe, that eternal, uncreated, divine, only given by God, life in me. And it overcame the darkness of my life. and allowed me to live in the light. I don't have this issue at our church because we don't have these types of lights. But when I was an assistant pastor, one of the major annoyances of being an assistant pastor at the Bible Baptist Church in Wilmington, Ohio, was that back then, I'm not so sure what it looks like now, but back then we didn't have all the LED and things that we do now. It was just kind of transferring. So we had all the tube lights with the big lenses like this, and they're long. This being out in the middle of the country and farmland, this building would get full of flies, and those flies would go up into the attic and they would die and they would end up in the lens. And so our job was to go around and sweep out all the flies out of these things. I remember one time when I first came on staff, I was the business management pastor, essentially the operational pastor. And as soon as I came, it was like a plague of flies came. And my pastor said, we got to do something about this. Brother Brandon knows this. In the classroom I taught college and career in, there was a bug zapper up there. And we'd be in the middle of teaching. And all of a sudden you'd hear one. And like, I didn't have anything else to do. And everybody, all the, you know, these are 18, 19, 20 year old kids. And they're all laughing. They're like, you know, it's like you smell fly juice all through your Sunday school class. It's like, so I began to use it as an illustration. I'm like, oh, look, no one went to hell. You know what I mean? Somebody got to get saved today. Amen. But, you know, that was one of my jobs. And so one night, Pastor McInerney said to me, he said, hey, listen, we need to have a bug bomb. This is just too many flies. We got to do this. And so we had a company come in, and nobody could be in the building. So I had to unlock it. And we had an alarm I had to set. So I had to sit out in my car while they did this, while they fogged this place and then locked the building back up. And the next morning I came in. And I'm telling you this right now. In every light fixture on that side of the building, You turn the lights on and it just stayed dark because there were so many flies in those lights that you could not see. This is 7, 8 in the morning in the springtime. It's light outside at this point, but we turned the lights on and you couldn't see. They were covered with flies all the way to the brim, overflowing all over the ground. And so we have this major cleanup to do on this old part of the building, this other part of the building. And I remember that, and I always thought about this, you know, it never occurred to me, my pastor, this isn't why he did it. He just is a very decent and order kind of guy and detailed. I don't know anybody else like that. I'm not sure if I got any of that in me or not, but my staff would say yes. But I see everything because he saw everything. I came in here today and I realized there's no offering baskets. These guys did a great job, but this is my training. This is the kind of stuff. And there'd be one fly and my pastor could see that fly. And I'm like, he didn't even come down that hallway. How did he see that? It was like he had a sixth sense. And I'm like, why does it matter? It's one little fly. You can't see it. But my pastor always used to say this. One fly becomes 10 flies, and 10 flies become 50 flies, and 50 flies become 100 flies. And then when I saw all those flies in there and you couldn't see light, you know what it was doing? Even one fly is blocking the amount of light that's supposed to be coming from that fixture. The Bible speaks of this. Solomon says it. I can't remember if it's Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. I believe Ecclesiastes, maybe the final chapter. Solomon says that there's a fly in the ointment. That's where we get that. One fly in the ointment. Listen, if one fly gets in the potato salad, I don't want it no more. I'm fighting hard against flies, amen? I stand at the front door and tell the guys all the time, close the doors when it's spring because I don't want flies in here. Because one fly in the ointment messes it up. You listen, one fly in some sterile stuff ruins the whole thing. You got to throw it away and start over again. Don't allow flies to get in your ointment. Don't allow flies to block your light. Because Jesus says, let your light so shine. Don't allow your anger to block the amount of light that's supposed to be radiating from you. This Christmas, the lights, they're not on houses. They're not in theme parks. The lights are in us. Because in him was life. And the life, watch this, the life was the light of men. That's us. The light of mankind. It's the word anthropos. It's where we get anthropology. His entire creation. Because God's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to have that light in them. But everybody won't get that light or even hear about that light unless we go forth and tell them. Would you agree with me today that God is good? And I'm doing my very best, but can I just say this to you as the truth of a pastor? These verses are unexplainable. I'm just doing the best I can. It's unfathomable for me to think that in the beginning, before the beginning began, Jesus was there. It's unfathomable for me to think and to understand that this life, because down in verse 14 it would say, and the Word was made or became flesh. So Jesus took that light and that life and put it into a little helpless babe. And if you believe that today, that that baby was born of a virgin, isn't that, my mom never watched this one, but I know there was an old soap opera called Guiding Light. Isn't that our guiding light? If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be no good at all. If it wasn't for the life of Jesus, if I didn't believe Christmas, if I didn't believe Jesus was born as a helpless babe, I'd be no good at all. I'd just be living how I wanted to live. And you know how I know that? Because that's what I did before I knew who he was. But I believe that in him was life and is life. And that that life is the light of men. So I need to be different than I was, because this is an eternal light. This isn't bios light. This isn't a light that my daddy gave me. This isn't Pasuke light. This isn't some psychological. This isn't some term. This isn't something that you can study or get through academics. No, this is the eternal life and the eternal light, who is Jesus Christ, who was willing, and better than just willing, he was absolutely able to come into the world to humble himself and go into that baby and say, guess what, friends? If you follow this life, if you'll talk about this light, that makes you eternal as well. Here's what happens when you get saved. You go from just a bios to a Zoe. You go just from a physical being to an eternal being. Why is that so important? Because Jesus, he did it reverse for you and I. He was always an eternal being. He came in as a bios being so that you and I could go from a bios to eternal. Something always has to come first before anything can come second. You ever heard your parents ever tell you, don't put the cart before the horse. Don't try to do this or get there. You know, that's what a lot of humanity is doing today. They're just trying to be a good person, or they're trying to do this. And the word trying is the saddest word for people today. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to be better. Stop trying and start accepting. I can try all I want, but the darkness can't overcome the light. You got to let the light overcome the dark. And that's what Jesus does for us. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you. I ask now that you would help us, Lord, to allow the light. It's not our light, it's your light. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. Lord, those of us that are saved, we have that light in us. Let it not be hidden for anything, not because of our anger, our bitterness, our jealousy, our pride, our fear, but let it be shown, because Lord, that's exactly what you came to earth. That's exactly why you were born Christmas Day, is that that life and that light could be shown to all the world. Father God, I pray now that you'd bless us as we receive offering today. You would bless this offering, both the gift and the giver. Father, I ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.